You are listening to a special podcast for Godzilla Government, zillamod.wordpress.com. So many people have become inspired by the sweeping national movement of Occupy Together, or Occupy Wall Street as it's better known. Occupy Wall Street is becoming a magnet for people who are left of center, discontented with the banking and corporate institutions who were involved in government, and they're unhappy with the government for the lack of accountability over the financial downturn, the lack of jobs, the lack of food, money, resources available to the public as a result of the economic downturn. A lot of people are joining up with the protests. A lot of people are finding ways to organize, to speak truth to power. One criticism of this movement has been that it's not one for anyone right of center. There's a lot that can be said for diversified perspectives. We attended the Occupy Seattle General Assembly to get firsthand accounts of what's really going on in the Occupy Together movement. Be prepared, our first pit stop was at a hot dog stand across from the protest.
Reporting from the Occupy Wall Street Seattle. And as you can hear, there's plenty of chanting and ranting going on right now. It's a pretty animated crowd. And they're standing, quote unquote, in solidarity with the folks in New York. I pulled over one of the protesters. So Stan, what's your beef?
My beef is that the
your all-American beef with this Occupy Wall Street. Sorry, go ahead.
My all-American beef is that the corporations own our government. The government does not work for the people. The government works for the corporations. We are economic slaves. There's billions of dollars to be made up out of thin air to support the to make up for interest on billionaires' accounts. There's billions of dollars to be made up out of thin air for mudslinging campaigns for politicians to get into office, but there is no money for basic human rights, basic human needs, health care, education, nothing for that.
Okay.
We got to put people above money.
I'd say that there's a lot of people here who are suffering the system. We're going to just try to get a cross-section of different people. If you have one word of advice or recommendation for the world, okay, what would you say?
It does not matter what political party you believe in. It does not matter what religious organization you are a member of. We are all economic slaves to the corporate system that is in play now, and that has to stop, and we all have to stand in solidarity against it.
Okay, now we're talking to Andy. Andy is he's actually the web administrator for this event, the Occupy Seattle, in solidarity with Occupy
Wall Street.
Okay, speaking to Mike.
Okay, will do.
Okay, so Andy, what's your angle? What do you want to contribute to this mass conglomeration of people?
Right. Well, me in particular, I mean, I suppose that I was able to put my web skills to use and create OccupySeattle.org, which was really exciting when my girlfriend and I found out about Occupy Seattle, or actually Occupy Wall Street. We went and we looked for Occupy Seattle anything, and the only thing that was around was a Twitter feed or a Facebook page. It was kind of disorganized, a little decentralized.
Yeah.
So we just decided, hey, we're both programmers. Let's do something and contribute. So we created OccupySeattle.org, and now it's taking on a life of its own.
Obviously.
And today, hopefully, we'll develop it a little more towards that goal.
Nice. What's the one thing you appreciate the most about this group?
The one thing I appreciate the most about this group is that in my own generation, I have not seen a concerted left activist group emerge that would be considered something like a counterweight to the Tea Party. And of course, it's not exactly correct because we can't really label it a counterweight to the Tea Party. But I haven't seen something focused, in any case, on plutocracy, on corruption at the highest levels of government emerge. And that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited that people are making noise about it because it's been so important to me for so long. But there's not been much that I know about to get in terms of a way to get plugged in. So finally, there's a way to get plugged in and do something.
We're hearing a lot of socialist and collectivist, those voices are rising to the top, and they're actually getting to express themselves in a brand new way that I haven't heard ever. And what's important is to understand how this is evolving. I mean, do you think there will be room eventually for just mass participation in America embraces other voices? Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen in terms of contention and tension, yeah, and that sort of thing?
That's a good question. Well, I think so far we've definitely seen some tension between overt political groups. You have the socialists. I guess I haven't met any Marxists per se that have identified themselves as that. But you do see different political groups coming. But then there's the tension between that overt political nature and then also people just coming together about just one issue, which is the corruption. And so you asked about, well, do we think that there is space for all these different political groups in this emerging movement? And I think it depends on whether or not we can keep our claims narrow enough. If we can keep what we're fighting for narrowly focused on corruption at the highest levels of government, then I think there can be space. But if we make what I would take to be the mistake of classifying this overtly as socialist or Marxist or even perhaps libertarian, then obviously we're not going to have space for those groups. And by doing so, I think we'll decrease the possibility of having the numbers we want to have.
Good point. Andy, if you had one point of recommendation for the general public, what would it be?
For the general public, I would say come down, get involved, come see what it's about. You don't have to. Part of what's really beautiful about this movement, especially its Wall Street incarnation, is that people got together who basically were just angry with the way things were. And then from there, they figured out what kinds of concerns do we share and how can we address those. And so you don't necessarily have to be on board with too much at all, except that if you're angry about the way things are, if you think there's something at all wrong with median wages in the United States stagnating while the top 1% income has skyrocketed, if you think there's something wrong with that, come down, see what it's all about.
Yeah, and how can people find their own? This is a World Wide Web production. What's the best way for somebody to find the one nearest you?
Great question. Well, there's occupytogether.org, and that lists a bunch of different cities and their corresponding websites. But one thing that's a little bit difficult about this is that it's still evolving. It's happening very quickly. Things are happening on the ground that are not necessarily getting relayed online. So I would say Twitter is an excellent resource. If you take your city and you type in Occupy your city, you're probably going to get that's the most up-to-date on-the-ground information that you can find.
Now we're speaking to
Sunny Wismer.
Sunny, and so what brings you to this Occupy Seattle Solidarity event?
Well, I originally heard about this from a good friend of mine who's from the East Coast, and he was just saying, originally we were both just kind of like, wow, here's this movement, a couple thousand people strong,
right,
that is not being televised. Why isn't this being televised? At first it was kind of a shocker. This was in the real early days, you know, with the first couple nights of the occupation. And so we were just talking about it a lot. And we informed ourselves about the occupation and the fact that, you know, this is something that's protesting big business and government, and found out that WikiLeaks was supporting the original occupation in New York and giving them quite a lot of dirt on the big businesses that are supporting our government. And that came to the conclusion that, you know what? These big businesses are keeping the media from reporting this, mainstream media from reporting this. And just, I think that's mostly what brought me here, is just the fact that I really previously felt that our nation did a pretty good job, all things considered, of being of transparency. And this kind of woke me up to the fact that, you know what, our nation's communication system and intergovernment workings are not transparent at all. And that really needs to change in order for us to function as a society, as individual communities, and as a country. Because if a movement 2,000 people strong can be camped out in New York for this long, and I think it's been, what, like two weeks as of today, can be camped out in New York and no one knows about it? Like, that's insane. That's crazy. So My hope for this event today was for us to do some outreach and at least let Seattle know what's going on.
Right.
And let Seattle know, hey, your government is not being transparent with you. There's a lot of stuff going on that you don't know about, and this movement is one of them.
So what would you recommend in terms of general public? What would you say to the general public in terms of, like, motivation or just your general thoughts?
Inform yourselves. I mean, it's worth it. The 10 or 15 minutes it takes to just go online and look at blogs from on-the-ground media sources from people like you, rather than, you know, turning on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or any of those big news sources, it's worth, after you see the headline, it's worth the 10 or 15 minutes to go online and search and find out what's actually going on from someone. That's where the real news is. We're not going to get real news from these big corporations that are owned by bigger corporations. I mean, someone told me the other day that one of these corporations is specifically and entirely owned by GE. You know, you have the BBC, which is primarily owned, I can't remember, but all these news agencies.
It's Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, definitely. And just, you know, go to your fellow citizens for your information. Go to the people that are actually living it to find out about it. Don't go to a third-party source that's interested in, you know, getting the money you're paying for cable to watch. Someone that actually is trying to keep you informed, that has a personal invested interest in what's going on, because it's happening to them. And, I mean, going all the way back to, like, your elementary school education, we talk about, you know, primary versus secondary versus tertiary sources. I mean, if you want to go with the primary source, and there are so many of those out there. And everything that I can tell you, that everything about this movement, everything that's being blogged, OccupyTogether.org, OccupySeattle.org, OccupyWallStreet, which is actually DocupyWallST.org, all of those are just being live blogged. They're fry people on the ground that are invested in the movement. And this is a very diverse movement. I mean, you're not just seeing people with a
green... Who are you seeing? Tell me who you're seeing.
I've spoke to a whole bunch of serious right-wing Republicans at our General Assembly here in Seattle. I spoke to, I spoke to a whole bunch of more progressive liberals. I've spoken to Democrats. I have had a conversation with so many different people that are out here for so many different reasons. I mean, some people are here because they support healthcare. Some people are here because they're against healthcare. Some people are here because they think the Republicans are doing a bad job. Some people are here because they think the Democrats have a socialist agenda. Like, there are so many different reasons why people are here, but the bottom line is, no matter what their specifics, they think that big business needs to get out of government so we can be in it more than we are today.
Yeah, I can vouch for the fact that the people here are not the 1%. How about you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Definitely not. We've got like business people and whatnot down here. I mean, looking out at the crowd right now, I see a guy who looks, a woman who looks absolutely awesome with full-length dreadlocks, but I also see a guy in a dress shirt and slacks. I mean, we have got just everybody. We had a whole bunch of kids last night at the General Assembly, a couple families come out. We've got pets. It's, you know, it's a very clean movement, too. This isn't something where you're going to see a lot of profanity or any violence or anything like the WTO riots we had here a couple years back now. Nothing like that at all. This has been
dirty pigeons. They're dirty park pigeons.
That's pretty much it. Other than that, it's just been a lot of hanging out and talking about, you know, how we want our occupation to go. Do we want to do a sit-in like New York? Do we want to simply raise awareness for the cause? And that's still something that's in discussion, and it's going to take a long time to talk about because we're doing it democratically, and you know what? I think that's beautiful. So,
okay, we're still here reporting from Occupy Seattle in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, and I'm sitting here with Pete. Pete, who are you with? What's your angle?
Well, I'm with Occupy Seattle. I actually started blogging a clean energy revolution blog, coincidentally, simultaneously with the uprising in Tunisia. So it's been going on about 9 months now.
Wow. For you, it's been longer.
Right. Yes.
And you're no stranger to the Seattle movement scene, Seattle activism scene. What would you say about this movement that might be different from other movements you've seen evolve in Seattle?
Well, this one, I think a lot of people have taken some lessons from the WTO and some of the other things in the 60s with Kent State and things like that, and we've learned to be peaceful and not look bad when the police are attacking us, and I think we're a lot better organized. We have different groups and different jobs and categories, and we take care of medical and sanitation and media and everything, and it's just really well organized compared to other things that I've seen in the past.
So would you agree or disagree with the statement that this is a decentralized grouping?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Well, some people believe that this is a decentralized, organically evolving movement that just kind of happened. And based on the leadership that I see here, I'm not 100% sure about that.
Right. And, you know, I don't know how to answer that question because, you know, my point of view is that it's bigger than Seattle. It's bigger than Wall Street. It's bigger than Tunisia. I mean, it's a global revolution, and you know, when we've had a dozen or so uprisings in a dozen countries in the last 9 months, that's big. That's something that has never happened before. This is not just the civil war in France, not just the civil war in Mexico or the U.S. This is global. It's all happened in the last 9 months, and I think that's probably the most important, most dramatic aspect of it. And so, you know, Occupy Wall Street is day 14 or 15 now, and things are starting up in over 40 cities in the United States and over a dozen cities internationally in the last few days. Today, things are starting up next weekend on October 8th in other cities. It is organizing and spreading in my mind dramatically quickly, even though there hasn't been very much press coverage until today. Here in Seattle, we've had some news people down for the first time. This is our official fifth day in Seattle, and we're still in the organizing and planning stations, which is going wonderful, by the way. But I've heard, I haven't confirmed it myself because I've been here all day, that there's some crazy stuff going on in Wall Street now that is bound to get media attention. I believe there's 5,000 people there, and I've heard of a standoff on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Do you want to speak to the use of social media momentarily? I haven't really seen anybody so much on their phones. There's one or two girls that are here that are kind of snapping pics,
right,
and kind of mobile casting.
Well, that's something that we have now that we've never had before, with everybody with smartphones and camera phones and things like that. That's very important to have in a document, especially as the crowds get larger and there could be problems, you know, with the police or not. Hopefully not, because they are part of the 99%. They are part of us. And they do a very difficult job. And, okay, they've got a couple of bad ones, but... And we don't know who's the good one and the bad one, because the good ones let the bad ones stay. But that's a whole different story. I'm sort of getting off point here. The point is with the media that we each have in the crowd, that we can videotape stuff, we can post it to our own Facebook. My daughter is a junior in high school. She was down here all day today. She was very active. She was in one of the affinity groups. Sorry.
Kind of a magnanimous message, you know.
Right.
We are the 99%.
Right.
What does that mean necessarily? I know that we're sectioning off.
Yeah.
You're speaking a lot about organization and how well things are organized.
Right.
But we're not speaking specifically about who is doing this organization.
Right.
And who's represented here.
Well, Occupy Wall Street really has a lot of diverse interests. You know, you get back to the idea that it's a global revolution. There's certain issues that everybody has in common. It's corruption in the banking system, corruption in government, greed would probably be a better definition to the corruption. democracy has been hijacked by the greed and corruption in these big businesses and in government globally, not just the United States, but everywhere. And you know, what it's done is I think that the crux of it, the reason that it started on Wall Street and people are going straight for the banks is because it's the capitalist society, which was supposed to benefit everybody, where everybody benefits. Somebody invents something, and then people work for them, and everybody makes money, and then the city they live in, and the community they live in, and the government that, you know, gets some fire trucks, some police cars, and all that, everybody benefits. But that hasn't happened. The people at the top are keeping all the money. People at the top are in international corporations and international government, and the government and the corporations are basically the same. But and people say, oh well, you know, you can't have a, you know, democracy with people in the Middle East or with socialists or anything. It's like, you know what, all those names confuse everything. It's basically trade. I mean, if you really think about it, the oldest trade routes in the world are as old as Christianity itself. So there's always trade. It doesn't matter what you call it. The ideal that's happening here is people are saying is the way we are trading is not fair anymore. That 1% having everything and 99% having so little, that there's no culture on the planet where that is okay.
You know, circling back to that question before, the organizing.
Okay.
You know, who is doing the organizing here? You know, and you can speak in terms of characteristics or political generalities, but it's important that people understand, you know, who's showing up. Who's showing up to lead?
You know, that's really hard to say at this point with really day five. There's lots of the wonderful people down here that have taken charge and getting the groups together, and people are joining the groups, and we're welcoming people in and finding out what their talents are and asking them what they would like to be in, if they want to be in something, if they're comfortable with it, and people are going to do what they want. My daughter's a junior in high school, and she was in the fundraising group. You know, so, you know, we have people of all ages. Of all talents, if people have any media talent or computer talent or medical talent. I had an RN come down today to volunteer. I had somebody that was at home that heard what was going on down here today, and she brought a bag of food and some garbage bags so that we can clean up and keep our Occupy area clean, and she handed it off and said, thank you what you're doing, and she went home. It's you and me. It's everybody. It's everybody just like you. It's our friends and neighbors. It's all different people. I haven't met so many different people in one place today with the same ideas in a long, long time. This is absolutely wonderful. We all are the 99%.
We are trying to get that historical context. You know, we asked you to come and speak because you have perspective on the timeline of certain, you know, Seattle-based political movements happening. You know, where is this kind of like in the stack up, and where do you see this going?
Well, you know, this is a global revolution, and what I'm saying is that Seattle will definitely grow and probably be one of the major components in the movement.
Why would you say that?
It's always had a history of taking care of each other. It's one of these places where, you know, being neighborly and doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You know, I mean, this is going to sound weird to some people, but we were one of the first places that ever recycled. You know, it's just in us. It's what we do here. You know, we get active and we get involved, and just like anywhere else, people get pretty busy and they get pretty sidetracked. But once they find out what's going on, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we have thousands of people on the street in just a few weeks.
Okay, and what do you think is going to be the main point of like motivation or the Prometheus? What's that tipping point? Where's the match strike that's really going to draw people to their own self-interest to be involved with this movement?
Well, I think no matter what people's backgrounds are and what's happened to them personally, if they've lost their home or not, or if they lost their job or if their pension or anything like that or not, I think that the average person, the average 99%, no matter where you're from, knows inside them that the way that our government and the way our corporations are running is just not fair. And I think that no matter where you come from, the people understand that, you know, and that's their motivation. I mean, and each one of them will have to define it for themselves exactly, but that's the core motivation that I'm sure that just about everybody, 99%, could agree on.
You know, there's some affinity groups, and people are kind of gathering their own thoughts right now. You know, they're organizing in their own, they're sectioning off based on values, contribution, what they think that they can give in terms of ideas, that sort of thing. What do you think?
I think
is going on right now.
Well, I think collectively people are coming to the realization that it's up to us, that if we don't do something, there's not going to be a future, period.
So if things keep going, let's just say, if things keep going,
well,
would this coffee shop be able to continue selling and making nice drinks?
Continuing the way that the powers that unfortunately be are running things, if it keeps going the way they're running things, in the not too distant future, 4/7 of the world will be going hungry. We'll all be peasants. We'll be going right back to the Dark Ages. We might as well start over with the French Revolution again.
We're headed for the new feudalism.
That's right. We're headed to where a loaf of bread will cost you a month's pay. That's where we're headed if we don't change things now.
Okay. Would you like to add an idea or one motion towards the masses?
Well, the one thing that I would like to add that's really important to me is, you know, that we're all workers. We're all the ones that work. We're all the ones that take care of everything. Somebody's got to do it. This movement is about banking and about money and about commerce. And if you're in a union or if you know somebody in a union, to come down here. Come down here and join the movement. If we ever needed union members, union officials, workers, organizers, labor, everyday people in the front lines of this 99% movement, now would be a pretty darn good time.
You've been listening to a Godzilla Government podcast. This is an update from the date of this interview, which was taken on Saturday, September 30th. Since that time, we've discovered that the global revolution that Pete was discussing comes from a website called globalrevolution.es. And on this website is a countdown to the demise of capitalism. And since this conversation has taken place, the AFL-CIO has gotten involved with Occupy Seattle. Other organizers are estimating that it may be co-opted by the unions. We now return to the remainder of our netcast.
Okay, so we've heard a lot from the people at the protest and what their motivations are. And as we left, they were forming committees to organize further demands and political aims towards the Occupy Seattle /Wall Street. Cops were milling around, but there really wasn't much cop presence. It was one paddy wagon and a guy in a blue police car that's kind of been there all day. So just for salt's sake, I decided to stop in at an adjacent Starbucks coffee shop across from Nordstrom's and ask a gentleman to give me his 2 cents on, you know, what he thinks of the protest.
Well,
what's
actually,
your name?
Nathan.
Nathan.
My name is Nathan.
Okay, Nathan.
Yeah. I only walked by it really quick. My friend and I were walking to the Hallmark store to get some wrapping paper to do a last minute gift. And so I really didn't actually know what was going on at the protest. I just saw a couple signs as we were walking through. And usually I try to kind of just keep looking straight ahead so I don't get. But the sign that I did read was tax the rich, not the poor. And is that kind of what the protest was mainly about with this hockey, because I'm pretty unfamiliar with the movement. I've heard, you know, definitely tax rich, not the poor, but I haven't heard of this Occupy Seattle, Occupy Wall Street thing.
So what else did you hear?
So when I see tax, I really didn't hear much of anything. I didn't listen. I just kept walking straight ahead.
That's probably like a sarcastic.
No. When I see tax the rich, not the poor, I think of people relying too much on their government. You know, I've been working for 7 years since I was 17 years old, paying taxes, working my way through. And, you know, I'm confident in, well, I think everybody, there should be like a flat tax. That's honestly, in a perfect world, one party should not pay more than the other party. Everybody should have, you know, the same percentage. So yeah, the person pays more than me, you know, and so it's going to be a percentage of my income versus their income. It's going to be the same, yet it's going to be more from them, less from me, but overall the same. So I usually kind of steer clear, turn a blind eye to all of this. You know, it's my biggest thing is if you want to make a difference, you have to vote. And, you know, organizing these protests and everything that may be harmless, it doesn't seem like they really do much. They attract a lot of people who are uneducated, unfamiliar with everything that's going on. You know, it's they go out there and they make a big, you know, noise. They make a lot of noise about it all, but really, you know, like, how much are they doing for it besides getting out there? Sometimes I wonder. I've never been involved in an organized, you know,
Nathan,
dispute
I have a question
like that.
For you.
Yeah.
You know, we're here on a Saturday afternoon in a highly corporatized Starbucks facility across from Nordstrom's, and I'm just, you know, you're obviously one of these guys who's a flat tax guy. Do you think our government and the corporate amount of corporate involvement in the voting process is appropriate?
The amount of corporate involvement? No, I do not. Amount of corporate involvement, definitely
what
not.
What about it is not appropriate? This is very important. You can say no, but people won't know why unless you tell them exactly why.
Now, corporate involvement, you are meaning like lobbyists trying to sway public opinion towards one side, right? When I hear corporate involvement, I think, you know, lobbyists trying to convince people to agree with them. And that comes off to me, honestly, as a bribe. Government, to me, is, you know, there to maintain the order of things. And they don't need to make our decisions. They don't need to provide us with, you know, like, health care. I mean, to an extent they do, but I think that people now are wanting the government to become too involved, and they're starting to rely too much on the government. And at the same time, I think the government is kind of running with that, and they're seeing how they can be more involved. But
okay, I mean, do you have anything to add to that? What is your name?
My name is Jathan.
Jathan.
Yeah.
Okay, Jathan. You know, you walk by the protest too. What's your perspective on what's going on?
Well, I wasn't actually reading what was going on. I was just
observing.
Observing.
Okay. Well, what did you see?
There was a man who had a rope against his neck and holding up a sign that saying something about, I completely forgot the phrase of it, but it was just disturbing.
So it was disturbing to you. Do you know why it was disturbing to you?
Well,
it's okay to be exact.
Well, I don't know exactly what was going on, but it seems like it was, from my perspective, it was just a sarcastic way of getting people to do things without really, you know, it's just like, you know, it's reverse psychology. You know, you show something and then you make people think that way, but really, it's a different intent. It's to make people stop and, I'm sorry?
Make a statement.
Yeah, like a statement. People just try to make a statement out of something and not, you know, just getting people to react, basically. I think that's what the whole intent was.
It made you react.
It made me react.
Okay, and your reaction was that it was not something pleasant. It was unpleasant.
It was unpleasant, and the way it just approached in downtown Seattle, how they came about, it felt like it was inappropriate to present something like that.
Okay, so let me ask you an important question. Do you think do you think the speech issue is appropriate? I mean, would you want to control that speech, or would you, you know, are you okay with people speaking, you know, in public like that?
Of course, everybody has some sort of a freedom of speech, but at the same time, you kind of have to, you know, there's good and bad, you know, everything has to be organized in a way what's right and what's wrong. And I guess with that question, I think the main point is to not be too aggressive. Freedom of speech, you can say something, but you don't need to be too aggressive about it. If you want something done, you do something about it. You don't just present it in a way that will affect people or will cause people to react.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Can you know, just basic things? You don't have to get, you know, uber specific, but you know, you're an American?
Yep.
Okay.
My mom's Filipino, yes. And my dad is Spanish Italian.
Okay.
I'm gay, so.
Okay, you've got a lot of perspectives. Okay, so we're still we moved over one table, and now we're gonna get the perspective of another gentleman. He's sitting here at his laptop at the same Starbucks across from Nordstrom's.
Aziz Houdin.
Okay, and what is your background? That sounds like Muslim.
Yes, I'm African American Muslim.
Okay. All right. So you know we're getting a little diversified here. What is your opinion of the Seattle protests that are going on down the street?
Okay, the people are getting fed up. They're saying that we are tired of the big corporations lacking in responsibility. Here, the average American is paying high taxes. The big guys in business, the corporations, the bankers, there are less tax coming out of them than we are. And they're shugging their responsibilities. But yet, they will charge you phenomenal fees for borrowing their money. And taxes are really high already. The interest rates are going up. So the people here in this country are getting fed up with it. They want to make a living. But they can't make a decent living while thousands of people are losing their jobs. And the corporations are getting richer off their labor. So the people have a right to voice their opinions, to let the world know what's really going on here in America. So yes, they do have a right to protest, and it is a sound choice.
You were speaking to me a little bit about some of the problems that you're having as a result of the economic downturn. Tell me what's going on, or your story really isn't all that uncommon these days.
Yes, you know, I got a loan, and the loan got behind due to financial problems, and they had charged me a phenomenal interest rate in paying it off. And it's really unfair because basically they tripled the loan.
Was this for a home?
No, this is just a personal loan.
Okay,
nothing substantial,
loan.
Nothing really big, but the loan had tripled in payback. The loan was actually paid off. It was garnished. It was paid off. And what they did was they doubled it. They doubled it purposely to keep getting money.
Who is your financial institution who's done this to you?
The financial institution?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's that real famous known, is it HFC? HFC, they're really known to rip people off. Just outrageous rates. They will charge people for borrow money from them. If you just missed a couple payments, they will practically triple your payment. Money.
That's on par with payday loans.
Oh, well, payday loans is not as bad as these guys. These
really?
Guys are the worst. I had payday loans, and I've been late with payday loans, but I had never been charged the high rates. You borrow, just for instance, you borrow $400, you're late, and they're going to charge you pretty close to, let's say, $2,500 to pay it off. You know, crazy stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And to them, it's all fair because it's business.
So what are you doing to help yourself? What can you do to help yourself right now?
Well, the only way you can fight these guys, you got to get a lawyer. You have to get a lawyer and declare bankruptcy. Right now, I declared a Chapter 7 bankruptcy to stop it. Because if I don't stop it, they would just go on and on and on.
What do you do for a living?
I work with the public sector.
Okay.
I work for a tourist industry type background. Yes, okay. That's what I do.
What do you think about the accountability for people like Goldman Sachs and HFC and you know, other institutions, financial institutions, bankings, federal regulators, you know, what happens to them in your opinion in context of, you know, in deference to what happens to you? Like,
okay, a background like that, their accountability is to their stockholders. But stockholders, that's it. If the economy is going bad, they're going to make sure their stockholders get their share, their pay first before you get yours. And even if it's going bad, they're going to make sure the money stays in their side by raising interest, which you got to pay to satisfy their stockholders. And that's the way the ball bounces. You, as the regular worker, in reality, you really don't have no control of your money. Once you get it into the banking system, you really don't have no control. You can save money, draw some interest on it over time. And again, they can stop that and take more money out your savings for their will and purposes to feed their stockholders, to keep their stockholders happy. That's what makes the corporation go the way it is. Is stockholder earnings and what they want to please their stockholders. This might sound kind of elementary, but that's really what's going on. Basically, we are working as American citizens here in these corporations. The corporations have stockholders that invested in these companies, and their goal is to keep these people happy. And that's it. We're just sort of like the pyramid builders, as they say, like back in ancient times. We work for the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh say jump, we jump. That's it.
This podcast is more or less about Occupy Seattle, but you can probably find that OccupyTogether.org is sponsoring events throughout the nation to protest the current state of the financial collapse and across America. The dissent is continuing to spread with another type of protest also attributed to the left called October 2011, and you can find out more about that on October2011.org. We are doing our best to try to keep our leaders accountable, keep these financial institutions accountable, but it makes it very difficult when there is no whistleblower protection. Case in point, you've got Brad Manning sitting in a cell in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Obama has a really poor track record for whistleblower protection in the United States, and that's just for the government. If you're seeking transparency from the banking institution, corporate or financial institutions who are over-invested in our voting, elections, and anything having to do with power and money, the odds are kind of stacked against us because it's a small amount of people who are really making those decisions, and it's very difficult to kind of get to them. So it doesn't leave the public a lot of options other than to do exactly what Occupy Wall Street is doing, which is get out into the street and kind of whine and moan and bring out their sick and their dead and their complaints to the state. Because the state's not doing anything about it. Financial institutions aren't going to turn themselves in. So it's really up to us at this point. Whether or not you agree with the leftist strategy, whether you want it to tax the rich or not, the problem simply isn't going away, and you are hereby challenged to think for yourself, as usual. As for the fate and the future of Americans like Aziz, it's uncertain. This has been a Godzilla Government podcast and production. Please visit us online at zillamod.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.